I want to take some time with 1 Corinthians today. It's part of a teaching series that Paul is doing on the church as the body of Christ. It makes me think of a book that I read when I was a teenager called The Game by the Canadian author Monica Hughes. And just a spoiler alert, I'm going to be saying a lot about it, so if you haven't read it and you plan to, you may want to do that before you listen to this sermon. It's a science fiction story set in the year 2154. Robots have taken over most of the jobs, so most of the humans are unemployed and relying on welfare from the government. The main character is a teenager named Lisa. When she graduates from school, she gets a letter that tells her that she'll be unemployed too. And then she and some other students are taken to this rundown city where they're given shelter in an old warehouse and basic food, but not much else. It's not much of an existence. The story starts to move when they receive invitations to play the game, which is a kind of immersive experience. They fall asleep and explore different environments in other worlds, and they always wake up if anyone in the game is in danger. Excuse me. They play the game for a year, and in that time it comes to shape their whole lives. They use all their time to prepare for it. They figure out how to survive in these virtual worlds, and it gives them the opportunity to escape the life that they've been thrown into. One day, they go again to play the game, and they find that they have leveled up. They wake up, this time in a white plastic pod. When they get out, they find the same landscape that they've explored before, so they pretty much know what to do. They use their survival skills to find food and make shelter. But this time, when they fall asleep at the end of the day, they find that they're still inside the game. And when one of them gets sick or injured, they aren't immediately whisked back to reality. They try to figure this out. Is it still a simulation, or is this actually real? Finally, they realize that the point of this game they've been playing had been to prepare them to go and colonize a new planet. And now, without them knowing or consenting, they've been sent into space. And they discovered that each of them was chosen because they had a particular skill that would help them build a civilization. So, for example, one of them is a doctor, and one of them is really literate. Of course, they have no choice but to accept their fate. The pod has been destroyed, and there's no way they can get back to Earth. So they learn their new planet. They learn how to survive, they learn how to make clothes, they learn how to gather food. And one day, a year after landing there, they come across another group of colonists. They too were sent there through the game, but they landed in a different part of the planet, so they'd used different materials for their clothes, and they had different ways of doing things. The two groups get along and they end up intermarrying and helping each other. Eventually, they realize that the government must have sent many pods to this planet, and also that they weren't arranged randomly. Instead, different groups were sent to land close together by design, so that one day their different cultures would meet and they'd be able to help each other. Now, none of us, I expect, will end up colonizing a different, distant planet. None of us, I hope, will experience a world run by robots. But we do have something in common with Lisa and her friends. The church, the community of followers of Jesus, was designed from the beginning to form a new kind of community, one that would become outposts of the kingdom of God wherever it landed, where communities would live Jesus-shaped lives together as they grew to embody the love and life of God. People who would carry something of their true home everywhere they went, and where the good news of Jesus Christ would become embodied in how they love one another. Paul knew that this Spirit-centered community would need to carry us and the good news of God come among us beyond the early church into the future. He probably didn't expect that it would need to carry us 2,000 years into the future, or 5,000, 10,000, 30,000 years, only God knows. But St. Paul knew that the people of God would need inner strength, both of person and of community, to carry on in faith. So as he shepherded these little churches, he gave a lot of attention to how they were living together. This first letter to the Corinthians is a good example. It addresses real-life problems that have come up for the church in Corinth. Like, what do you do if several people claim to be the leader? Should people be devoting themselves completely to God, or is it okay to get married? What do you do if you're offered food to eat that has been sacrificed to idols? And how do you handle lawsuits among believers? These are all questions that were really contentious issues for this particular community in Corinth. Our big questions, of course, might be different, but the driving force is the same. The church is to be the body of Christ. Like it or not, we have been set here as an outpost of the kingdom of God together. So how we hold our common life matters. How we treat each other matters. How we live our faith matters. This is so important for the church, because Paul knows that people are being thrown together from all over. People in the churches that he was arranging and gathering and supervising, people are coming to Jesus from different cultures, different languages, with different practices, different ways of being, even different power structures. Jesus has opened this up for everyone, which means that everyone suddenly has to figure out what to do with each other. For the first time, the rich and the poor, the old and the young, the locals and the foreigners, find themselves called to live as a family. And that's really, really hard. Of course there are conflicts. Of course there are people asserting themselves or diminishing themselves in ways that they're used to doing. When Jesus shows up, all this gets upended. The person you never would have spoken to is now your sister. That person you might never have known existed is now your brother. And all of you together are called to embody something you're only beginning to understand, the love and grace of God. For this reason, Paul tells them and us very clearly the world-upending shift that we must make. Paul writes, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 23 to 25. The members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members don't need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. For us to live well together, all of us, Jesus brings those that the world has pushed to the edges, now to the center of the circle. The community of faith is no longer oriented towards those who have the power or the respect, but towards those who seem to be weaker, less respectable. It's wonderfully messy, and it's really inefficient, but it has a purpose. So that the members may have the same care for one another, Paul writes. And so that in each other, we meet Christ. If I had been designing a way to make my message last, I might have given it to people with influence and brains and armies and technology. I put every innovation I had towards making sure it gets through at all costs, to make sure it survives on all the figurative new planets. But God didn't do that. God calls people like us. God wraps the kingdom of God in frailty and lets it work its way slowly along, like yeast works its way through the dough. As we fail and hope, break and rise, we learn together to become what God is calling us to be, quite literally, a little piece of heaven. Amen.